Christ is found in the ordinary and extraordinary things of life. Christ is found in the ordinary, everyday details of life, which, by the power of God and by the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, are made truly extraordinary. Christmas season is really rather short, when you think about it, at least for those of us who observe it beginning at Christmas Eve and ending on Epiphany. If you observe it beginning at Halloween and ending sometime in February, that's a different story. But it really is only 12 days in the liturgical calendar. And so much of Jesus' earthly life is compressed into those 12 days of Christmas. That is, the early years of his life. How much happens just in Luke chapter 2? One chapter. Joseph and Mary appear. They're traveling because of the registration. There is the sudden birth in Bethlehem, no room in the inn. The shepherds and the angels make their appearance, and Mary and Joseph are puzzled. He is named on the eighth day, which coincides with January 1st, Holy Name Day, New Year's Day. He's presented in the temple on the 40th day of his life. The firstborn sons were presented to the Lord as an offering. And then we have the delightful story. We jump to age 12 when Jesus and his parents get separated in Jerusalem during Passover. It's a very typical story. They both thought he was in the back seat of the car with somebody else. You know how often this occurs. He was not. One day out, they realize their mistake. They go tearing back, and there is Jesus holding court in the temple with the rabbis and the elders at 12 years old, explaining the scriptures to them. Luke in one chapter. And then we just borrow from Matthew to top it all off, the Epiphany story, the wise men arriving on the 12th night, January 6th, the revelation, the first known appearance of Gentiles, of non-Jews, who recognize Jesus' divinity. And by January 7th this year, next week, it is all over, and Jesus is baptized in a man and starts his ministry. Talk about the compressed version. So much else probably happened in Jesus' childhood, but the gospel records don't tell us. Was he educated? We know he could read and write. Did he go to school? Did he learn carpentry skills from his father? Did he travel much throughout the Holy Land before he began his ministry? What were his relationships with his siblings or his parents? Did Joseph die an early death? None of that is there. Some of that is tradition. All of those events elude us. But the ones we have are made extraordinary. Signs of a great life just beginning. Of light coming to people's lives. The God of law and prophet now has a human face that reveals the God. Unto us a child has been born, as Paul reminds us in Galatians, a child, a baby, an infant, born fully human and fully Jewish, as one under the law, but born of a woman and the Holy Spirit. And this ordinary child will become extraordinary because he will redeem us and make us all children of God. Not by patrimony, by a stronger bond, a willful bond, by adoption, a relationship extended to us by the God of grace. As Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and later the wise men gazed on that child's face, they saw the face of God incarnate, the glory as the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. After all, who can't resist looking with delight and happiness at a baby? Whenever we are out, my wife and I just can't resist of making eye contact with babies and children, she admonishes me to stop lest the authorities be called. But they are so cute. I mean, to get them to smile. When Tracy brings Monroe in, don't we all just stop and want to look at her? Doesn't communion come to a halt while we look at Monroe and just marvel at this child? The tablets of the law did come down from Mount Sinai in fire and smoke, and yes, that got the Israelites' attention, shape up or else. But now God, before the God of all creation who existed before time and space, now God wiggles and squirms and sleeps in a box of straw. Vulnerable, endearing, living, drawing people to him as babies will. And this ordinary event is made extraordinary. This is how the incarnation, God made flesh, begins. Rowan Williams, the retired Archbishop of Canterbury, reminds us that Paul, in both Corinthians and in Galatians, says that the glory of the future can be seen from time to time in lives that are fully turned to the face of Jesus. The treasure of the gospel is in earthenware pots, or we might say digital media, yet the glory of Christ can be seen in human faces. We have not yet arrived at the end of all things, but we long for it because we have seen something of its radiance in the life of the Christian. The prologue to John's Gospel, our Gospel reading this morning, picks up on this theme of ordinary things made extraordinary. Perhaps that's why its prose is so captivating and its theme so majestic. For centuries at the Eucharist, as a matter of fact, the prologue to John's Gospel was read at the conclusion of the service before the blessing and dismissal, kind of a second creed, as it were, to remind us of the foundation of our faith. The eternal logos, or word of God, beginnings, life, light, darkness, birth, grace, truth. The prologue is a summary, or a compression, both words fail, of God's workings from the opening of Genesis until the birth of Jesus. How God has taken ordinary things and made them extraordinary. And it would read in a simpler way, much like this. In the beginning was the Word, who was God, who was before everything, yet created all that has come into being, life and light and grace. The Word was at work in the world. Some saw that work, others did not. But for those who did, they shared the light of God, becoming children of God, receiving God's unbounded grace as adopted children. Ordinary things make extraordinary, like bread and wine, gifts of the creation arising from the soil of the earth, which humans' hands fashion and God makes through the Holy Spirit into the bread of life and the cup of salvation, which we receive and accept, despite our sins and wrongdoings, to preserve our souls and bodies to everlasting life. Ordinary things made extraordinary, like water, which with light is a necessity for human life. Water which conveys the grace of baptism and makes us children of God by adoption, fully and completely. Ordinary things made extraordinary, like a baby who suddenly one day smiles at us as we smile at the child, and who recognizes that we too are human and are all on this journey together, created by God and God's power. And in that moment, we know for sure how close we are to God's heart, a God now made flesh of Jesus, in whose beginning there is no end. God of glory, your splendor shines from a manger in Bethlehem, where the light of the world is humbly born into the darkness of night. Open our eyes to Christ's presence in the shadows of our world, and let us see his face, so that we, like him, may become beacons of your justice and defenders for all for whom there is no room. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.